Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Welcome back to another crazy edition, live Monday, August 19th, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the absolute truth. I am your host, with the most, the king of king himself. God damn, I'm so damn good. I am on fire today. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, he is cold as ice. No soul at all. His name is
Sean Black in the building once again. And you should be hot to this hot today. Like, literally hot. It was like 92 degrees around here. So, yeah, you should be hot.
I know, it's so hot, I'm still passing gas right now. God damn, I'm hot. But,
Lord.
What? I had some bad food, and I've been passing gas nonstop. Some Jamaican food, you know. And it's killing my stomach right now. But, ladies and gentlemen, you know the number to call. 347-989-8402. That is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, are you boom, 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 ready to piss some people off?
Yes, I am.
Okay, before we get started, I just want to make a note that our other show, The Menu, starting with Brother B and Big Red, used to be airing on Sundays, is moving to Tuesday nights now at 8:30, I believe. So that's The Menu. It's just like that's the true show, but they talk about more about relationships and other current events. And when I tell you, Big Red, when she talk about sex topics, especially with the AT, they really go into it. They go through it. They go into it so much, I have to go to church after listening to them. Trust me on that.
So maybe that's the real reason why they're moving from Sunday. They're going to burn up in church or something, right?
I can't tell the way those guys have been acting. So that's Tuesday nights right here on Blog Talk Radio, 8:30, The Menu with Brother B and Big Red. Okay, so let's get started. And I got Lady T coming in. Lady T's in the house.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Hello. Okay. Like I told Sean earlier tonight, today, around 1 o'clock, just like everybody else, I was glued to the TV, listening to the police commissioner of New York, James O'Neill. I think that's his name, right, Sean?
Yes.
It's funny, we talked about this topic not too long ago. 5 years ago, back in August, Eric Garner selling cigarettes on a street block. Cops approached him. One gentleman, one officer, Daniel Patello, went behind him and basically gave him a chokehold and basically, quote unquote, killed Eric Garner because he couldn't breathe. He had an asthma attack. After many trials, he was found not guilty in a civil lawsuit. Did not go through. But after today's big announcement, the commissioner, the police commissioner, has fired Daniel Patel. And of course, when people was glued to the TV, there was like a mixed reaction. And like I told Sean Black, it reminded me of the OJ case. You know, people cheering, people being upset for different reasons, of course. So I will start off with you, Lady T. With everything that's going on right now, and with the police, the community, Eric Garner, Daniel Patello, excuse me if I'm jumping up from question to question. I'm trying to fit everything into one. Basically, what was your reaction or your gut feeling when you heard about the officer being fired? Do you think it was taking too long to do this? Do you think there's a right step? Of course, I should say there's not enough. There's more to be done. Or, you know what? This is nothing.
Well, like you said, it was mixed reactions. It's like we want justice, but when we don't get justice when we want it, it's always a cry. When we don't get justice how we want it done, it's always a cry. Listen, a man's life has been taken. You can't get that back. It's only but so much the city is still going to do in all of these cases where people's lives have been taken by the cops. It's like, what do we want? There's more to be done. It's way more to be done than just this guy getting fired and so forth. It's more to be done.
And the reason why I bring that up because, okay, the guy got fired. He lost his job. In some people cases, they would say, yippee-ki-yay. But he's still getting his pension to a certain degree. I'm like, he's still walking the streets for free. And like you just said, Lacey, a man just lost his life, but everybody's making a big deal that he lost his job. I'm like, is that fair to compare a man losing a job compared to losing his life?
I don't think it's in comparison at all. It should not be in comparison at all. It's the result of him losing his job. It's actions that was taken that might say to the next cop that, listen, I may not be able to get away with this again. Maybe this might be the end of certain things happening, or maybe not. I just feel like there's a lot more that still needs to be done within the police department and the community. So,
because before I go to you, Sean Black, I just want to add this note. In Brooklyn, New York, ladies and gentlemen, there was a big commotion between community and cops. Two separate incidents where, I believe it was a block party, someone or some people went up to plain officers and fired shots at them. No one was hurt. That was going on Saturday night. And was another incident where there was another different type of black party in the community where police were trying to break up a fight and they got bottles thrown at them. And when you hear this type of story and you compare it to Eric Garner, it's like, okay, you know what? This is what the cops deserve. Some type of retaliation or tension going on in the community. Sean Black?
We've heard way too many of these kinds of incidents on a regular basis. And as I said before, in the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, et cetera, excuse me, a lot of these kinds of things happen way too often. What we've seen over the last, I guess we could say since the beginning of the summer, we're seeing a lot more instances happening with minorities in minority neighborhoods and police officers. When we talked a few weeks ago about the water being thrown at the cops, now we're starting to see kind of like an anarchy kind of mindset when it comes towards police officers. And I don't think it's just happening in New York and in the New York area, because if we remember, there was a standoff in Philadelphia just not that long ago, and there was a video of the shooter or the person that took hostages, and there was a standoff. Eventually, he was able to be arrested, a black man, obviously, which is kind of
surprisingly
taken alive. And here's the thing: there's a video after the police officers started to leave the area. It looked like the people that were in the area were actually getting angry and belligerent with the police. This is starting to show in many ways with a lot of angst, a lot of anger with police and African Americans, other minorities that are seeing in neighborhoods the things that have gone on for years and years and years. And even when justice is being served, we're starting to see a lot of anger. So now to get back to the original point, as far as going into what we see here with Daniel Pantaleo losing his job and having to lose his pension, meaning whatever money he put into his 401k and in his pension, he's going to get that back. Obviously, he's not going to be able to be a cop again, whether it's in New York or anywhere else, because usually once a cop gets fired, chances are they're not going to get another job. So where do we go from here? He lost his job. We go from the standpoint of probably the family going for a civil suit, trying to get the money out of either the city or out of the police department, et cetera. We saw Patrick Lynch, who is the president of the Policemen's Benevolent Association.
I can't stand that guy.
He got on the podium, and he just ripped into Mayor de Blasio, thinking that the only reason why this happened is because he's running for president, is politically motivated, et cetera, et cetera. The commissioner at his press conference basically said, as a question was asked to him, how do you think the other police officers should feel in this decision to fire Pantaleo? And he said, out of his own words, if I was a cop, I would be angry with me too, which is basically saying that he stands behind the police no matter what, but based on what happened from the evidence and all of the things that he had to take into consideration, he pretty much had no choice but to fire Pantaleo. And there are more than one cop involved in this whole situation. So now you got to deal with what's going to happen with the rest of the police that were involved in that. And are we going to get the same kind of sweeping investigations and action into the other police officers that were involved or not?
I agree with your statement a little bit, but unfortunately, with that bad, not that bad, excuse me, the annoying union guy, Lynch, to me, he's like one of the biggest rats out there. I do agree that part of this move was politics-wise for the mayor. I would not be surprised if mayor told the commissioner, fire him right now, because the heat is on, he's running for president, and remember, back in Detroit, at the debate, in Detroit, people was chanting to de Blasio, fire him. Fire, I'm sorry, what's his name again?
Pantaleo.
Pantaleo. Fire Pantaleo, thank you. And I'm like, wait a minute, he's in a different state, a different area, and they know about this. Let's tell you that there's a lot of tension going on. So I believe they did the right thing for the wrong reason, of course, for their benefit, of course, not overall. 347-21, you know who you are. Welcome.
Greetings and salutations, everyone.
How greetings.
What's up? Sean Black, I have to ask you. The Philadelphia, it's hard to believe that they took him in quiet. Did they get him Burger King? Did they take him to Burger King? That's what I would like to know.
If he suggested Burger King, he probably wouldn't have gotten out as peaceful as possible.
Oh, okay. The surprise part
that he's still alive. That's the most surprising part.
Listen, you're talking about a black man. Because in the first report I read, they said that no cops were shot and there were no life-threatening injuries. Then later on, they're saying that cops were shot. So you're trying to tell me that this man shot six cops, took two hostages, and he's still alive. I can tell you, as me being a black man, his ass would have been worm food. If I was a cop, his ass would have been worm food. He wouldn't have left there alive. So for him to leave there alive, I just find it interesting how it also comes on the heels of, like, what, four or five white mass shooters within the span of a couple of weeks. I just find it very coincidental.
So are you saying, Brother B, that some of these stories could be planted?
I still don't believe the Beltway sniper years ago. I still don't believe that. I'm sorry to sound stereotypical, but I believe there's certain things that we do, our people do, and there's certain things that we just really don't do. So either I just don't believe that we pull off like that, or we can pull off like that unless there's some help, huh?
Well, there's always one person in the crowd, that one outsider,
and you're outside the box. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But like I said, I just find it very interesting how it always something always a black man or somebody black or somebody of color after. Four white people do something, all of a sudden, all right, boom, somebody black or somebody Hispanic has to do something real big, and it's in the mix. But that's just me. But when it comes down to this guy getting fired, I don't even know why there was a press conference. I don't even know why there was an announcement. The killer should have been fired. Listen, I'm an asthmatic. Something triggered him to have an asthma attack, and what that was an illegal chokehold around his throat.
Well, which was what the police are actually calling a seatbelt technique. That's what they call it.
It was illegal.
That's what they're calling it.
They themselves stated it was illegal.
Are we all agreeing right now that this was a legal chokehold?
No, it was,
it was
illegal.
Illegal.
They said
it was
illegal.
The cops even said it in the beginning. It was illegal.
Exactly.
They said that.
Lady T, correct me. Anthony Baez in the Bronx, sometime
mm-hmm.
in the '90s, football hit the patrol car, and he got choked. That's right after that incident.
Yeah,
because
that's what
they
enforced it. Yes, they put that in.
Yes,
that you cannot do that anymore. It's illegal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. True. The reason I asked that, because like I explained to Sean Black earlier, I asked some of my cop friends and my listeners, was it illegal chokehold? They did not answer me. They're like, I don't know.
Hi. I wonder why. Maybe the fact that every news
you got
every
your
news,
answer. No answer is an answer.
Every news outlet that has talked about this story precedes the word choke with illegal, and it's been said since the day or the week of the death of Eric Garner. And
Sean
this
Black,
is the know, thing that we've had. This is the kind of crazy slants we've been hearing ever since then, and it should not have taken this long, but I think we know why.
Of course. In the police academy testified that the chokehold was illegal. He was choking
mm-hmm.
the man while he was on the floor, and he was saying he can't breathe. So I mean, listen, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. He's a killer. He killed that man. And there's other people that should be considered an accessory in that man's murder. He is on the floor with his hand out, shouting he can't breathe, and you're really trying to tell him it's okay to still have him in a chokehold, and he's telling you he can't breathe. Let a black cop have been doing that to a white man. That dude would have been hung.
And I bet you the case would not take no longer than 5 months.
Oh, it took 3 weeks.
Compared to 5 months.
I thought you was going
to
say 5 weeks.
Well, you know, I'm trying to be positive about this. So the reason why I asked that question about the cops, it's funny how no matter what is going on, even with that Lynch guy, these cops will defend each other to the fullest. They got each other back, which is a good thing or a bad thing. But you have to admit, when someone's doing something wrong, you have to point it out that it's wrong.
So why do you have 100 blacks in law enforcement? Why do you have these other like little cult things within this agency? Like, why is there a need for 100 blacks in law enforcement? Because they know something unfair is going on. So they have to get together to protect themselves.
Why we have all these divisions in the same division?
Exactly. Thank you. Why? Because it's a house divided, and a house divided cannot stand. Listen, you're talking about 49,000 cops across 5 boroughs, and shit's still crazy in New York City. So what does that say?
And as we've been seeing over the last few weeks, that it's starting to bubble over and bubble over to the extent that the people that they're supposed to be policing are starting to revolt against them. Even if they are doing their job, we're starting to see water being thrown. We're seeing bottles, like we said before, in the one at, I believe, at the Marcy houses in that housing project over there. People are throwing bottles at the police officer, and one of the police officers, I believe, got hit in the head. So
And you know why this is happening? Because people are tired of they're tired. People all across the country, it's a trickle-down effect. People are tired of being bullied by the police, by law enforcement. And eventually, because if you keep pushing, somebody's going to push back.
Okay, well, so let me go to Cato right now. Cato, welcome. Do you think a retaliation like this we need right now between the community and the police making a statement?
Well, first up, I'm just going to say good evening to everybody. How's everybody doing? And second, I just want to say something that's true, and I'm answering your question. The reason why people are retaliating is because people are tired. They're tired of the police officers getting away with murder. They're tired of hearing time and time again. How many times have we heard of police officers murdering an unarmed black person, and they always I'm not even going to say seen. They get off. Now, can you blame the people for being angry? I can't blame the people for being angry, but do I condone the actions? No, I don't condone it. I'm like, listen, everybody just needs to cool it because, allow me to play devil's advocate, you do need the police in your areas. You, who's the first person you're going to call? You're going to call the police.
True, but you play, I'm sorry, it sounds like, okay, you want to be friends with a cop or you cannot be friends with a cop. You
right.
can't, it cannot be either or. So do you believe we need some type of retaliation towards cops?
I don't think it's a thing of retaliation.
No,
again,
no, we shouldn't have retaliation.
It's not retaliation. Once again, people,
right.
listen, it's not even a revolt. It's just the fact
it's
that
tired.
If you get tired, you get tired of being bullied, simple and plain.
Right.
After a while, the bully has to get his just due, and this is what's
exactly.
happening.
Exactly, and people are angry because you know what it is? In this era, in the case of Eric Garner, there was a video out, first up. You look at the video, okay? Eric Garner did not pose as a threat. There was no way he posed as a threat. What he was doing, he was just arguing his rights. Like, why are you stopping me for? You know, I'm standing right here, and you're coming up to me, and you're stopping me. That's all he's doing. Did he throw
True.
A punch at
but
the officer?
But remember, Eric Garner was a big dude, so, you know, some of those cops was afraid of a big black
That's
guy.
That's the only reason why
okay.
he was a threat,
yeah,
because
Damn,
he was
sure
a tall
there
was
no,
African-American.
There was no stop. Just stop with that. Just
exactly.
stop with
that. The truth.
No, but
no,
he was
afraid of that.
It was
Davey.
It was Davey. It was Davey versus Goliath. That's
exactly, and you know what? Those cops were bullies. Those cops were bullies because you know what it
and
was.
And they shouldn't have been on the force if they couldn't take down a big man in training when they was doing their training. That's what they should have been training them to do. Just
well,
stop with that.
Exactly, because he wasn't
issue.
A threat.
But
there was no way Eric Garner was a threat.
Eric
Garner
have
just,
a history.
Hold on,
he had a history.
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Are we missing the point? Did you see how they just swept the fact that he had priors, Pantaleno? Like, he had other cases where
exactly.
he was being checked for using excessive force. And they didn't bring that up.
They cushioned
they
the blow.
Up.
They tried to cushion the blow when they
right.
described mm-hmm. Pantaleo's history. Oh, 16 years or 20 years, 300 arrests and guns off the street, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh,
but this one person that he led to his death, well, we'll just push that under the side. And even more,
yeah.
Connor, and I said this to Hot Rod off the air earlier. If you looked at the press conference that James O'Neill did you notice the sly way in which he kind of took a jab at Eric Garner and said, well,
yeah.
it's not our fault that because of the unfortunate health of Mr. Garner that he couldn't survive the technique, et cetera, et cetera. Like, really?
It was not his health. Because you know what? Sean, I'm sorry for interrupting, but when you put someone in a chokehold, no matter what size the person is, what you're doing when you're using that chokehold, practice that chokehold on anybody, and you could knock that person out in a heartbeat. Now, the way Pantaleo jumped on Eric Garner from the back, he caught him from the back, held on, he fell down to the ground, and he was still holding on, and the other cops were involved. They were holding him down. And it's like, man,
yeah,
you hear the man
You're missing the
yeah.
point. He had an asthma attack. He was asthmatic. So once again, you're talking to an asthmatic. Once the asthma attack is triggered, you're already cutting off air. Once the asthma attack is triggered, it's a wrap. It's like five times the effect.
In other words, let's say he had let go of the chokehold. There's still a chance he could die from asthma attack because you already got triggered if he does not carry his pump with him or any type of medication.
Because you
so
know
he
what?
Triggered, he triggered the asthma attack and he kept choking and was basically killed him.
And it's not like they were going to give him his medication if he needed. Let's say he's using an inhaler. Or a corticosteroid to use to open the lungs up. They already had a knee in his back of his neck while his arms were down while he was trying to say he couldn't breathe.
Can
so
I just ask
both
of you guys a question on the panel? Like, You know, you have the right to appeal in this country. Do you not think they're going to appeal? I got a feeling they're going to appeal.
Of course.
And it's going to get reversed, and then boom, bip, bam. Then we're back to talking about the same thing. So what else needs to be done?
Lady T, there is something that needs to be done.
Hold on, let me do this, Sean Black. Go ahead. Sean Black, go ahead.
As litigious as this country is, and to go to Lady T's point, they're going to, not only are they going to appeal it, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Pantaleo's lawyer said that they will appeal.
Of course.
Because he wants to clear his name. He wants to get his job back. He obviously, even more so, he wants his pension to be reinstated at some point.
It's a pension. He needs his pension back. You need 20 years on the on the force to get your full pension. But let me tell you guys a quick story that my neighbor told me. From I used to live on Church Avenue. There was a white guy. We are aware of gentrification. We know how the white people are moving into the black neighborhoods and Latinos. That's nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
So, for East Flatbush Avenue area, for our outsiders, it's mostly West Indian and Spanish. So, of course, the white people are moving over. At a Boost Mobile store or something like that, a confrontation happened between a white guy and a black guy. And, of course, the white guy called the black guy the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
The white guy stepped out, came back, and stabbed the black guy in the store, ran back home. Cops was called. They found the guy. They did not go into the guy's apartment for like 4 hours later. They waited outside. They even got the SWAT team to come get this guy. While the guy who got stabbed was in King County Hospital, but he almost bleeding to death, they didn't arrest this guy right away. The guy had a chance to take a nap, drink some coffee, change his clothes until like 4 hours later they come out. Now, of course, the neighborhood, they all got crazy, upset, or why he didn't arrest this man, why because he's white, blah, blah, blah. And when my friend told me the story, like, Roddy, you don't seem upset. Why should I be upset if this is the same thing that's happening over and over and over again? And white people getting their privilege, especially when now we're getting arrested compared to black people. Now, when we hear this story over and over again, should we get upset or should we just like, you know what, just another day in the neighborhood? A.T.?
Not another day in the neighborhood until, God forbid, it happens to one of your family members. Then you'll be upset. So to say that is like, I mean, justice just needs to be served. Certain things need to be enforced. Because I don't understand that, how they wait 4 hours. They're right there. But just bust in like you would the black man's house, but guess what? This is America. This is not our land, guys.
Well, we came to the conclusion like, why they wait for the SWAT team? Because due to stereotypes, or to the white guy, white people have been crazy lately, shooting up the places. He may have, got those grenades, machine guns, AK-47. So that's why they wait for the SWAT team. It was like a black person. Most likely, it was like banging the door, give me your weed. Give me your guns and let's go. You're under arrest. Or could be shot dead. Let's be honest.
Well, if you think about it, I would have fell back too. Because, I'm not going to lie. Some of them white folk is crazy. They crazy. They'll shoot you up and hit you with an apple pie while you're dead. Like, they crazy.
Wow.
I got to lock my door. When I see a white person, I lock my door now. When I'm in my car, I lock my door. Because you never know. Yo, one day I was at work, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, and some guy walks into my car and grabs the handle. Hey, could you give me a ride? I said, yo, get the hell away from my car. Could you give me a ride down the block, man? I was like, yo, if you don't get away from my car right now, yo, they crazy. I'm scared. I cross the street when I see them. It's wild out here.
Oh, my goodness.
Why you didn't roll up the window and just ride him around the block? That's what you should have did.
Listen, because he probably would have just some Chuck Norris move and swung himself. And listen, you don't know what these guys be watching. They be doing wild stuff, man.
Brother B say is very true, because before I go to UK, dog, another quick story. One of my friends went to Virginia. He was waiting in a Walmart parking lot. Walmart, go figure, for his wife. A white guy woke up to his window and asked him, do you believe white people are racist? And he told me he almost pissed in his pants. But he did not know how to answer that question because, once again, you're in a parking lot. Walmart been hot lately with fire up mass shooting. And this guy, this white guy out of nowhere, come up and ask you, do you believe white people are racist or something like that? He was just making a conversation with a black guy in the end. But that's how scary it is to trust a white person. Just coming
one
out
of the,
of
one of the shooters and one of the it's one of the shooters in one of these within the last year before he went into shooting in one of these mass shootings had actually gone through asking potential victims something similar to that before he started
God
shooting
or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't know whether there is a pretense for that question. Or this is just like, you know, how you used to hear about gang members asking you a question before they jump you. So you don't know what's going on.
Listen,
it what's scary is the fact that they're getting away with it. That's what makes you scary.
Even scarier is that it's being normalized.
Are we more upset with that, that it's being normalized, or are we more upset that they get away with it, K-Dog? Compared to black.
Well, you know what? Let me just say this. What upsets me more is the fact that it keeps happening and we're getting and they're getting away with it. And unfortunately, we're in a country where, you know, there could never be justice or peace for stolen land. Time and time again, we hear these things keep happening. We hear about crimes that are happening, that black people are being murdered and the killers are receiving the proper treatment. Time and time again, we hear about this. You know, we keep hearing it.
And before I go to the next topic, this question for Brother B, since you're a racist, I did not know that till last week.
And he's a racist.
But do you feel, because it seems like every week on our shows we talk about some type of form of racism, do you think, compared to our parents and our grandparents, racism is, I know it's different now, but it's worse now than ever before, or it does a different form of racism?
No, I think this is just racism, like, 4.0. You know what I'm saying? I think, listen, before it was just blatant. Like, we didn't, you know, I heard stories like of the elders saying, like, you know, when he went off to work or he went off here, I wasn't sure if they was going to come back or not. You know, there was no beepers, no telephones like that to keep in contact with your loved one. But now it's just a new form. It's the same thing. It's just history kind of repeating itself. You know, you have a Klansman in the highest position in the country, you know. But at the same time, I really can't even call him that. I think he's just, once again, a charlatan who's just spewing hate, and he's reveling in it and having everybody just hate that he's the true antichrist. Like, no, it's the same thing, man. And what's sad is it's probably going to get worse to the point where it will be normal to just kill somebody black, and it's nothing.
Wow. You know, that's a scary thought you just mentioned there. Very scary. It will be normal. It's not going to get better.
Well, it's already happening already. It's already happening. I mean, look at the division that's going on in this country. I mean, don't everybody think that this country is more divided than ever?
I don't see how anybody.
I don't know.
Eric Garner. With all the facts.
That was
how
there.
How could you sit there and say that he caused his own death? With all the facts, illegal chokehold,
exactly,
you know, all the stuff that was going on, how could you sit there? Anybody that would try to normalize his death, to me, is a devil.
But you
can't even call yourself a God-fearing person.
But if you can normalize
the taking of somebody else's life for no reason, then you're a problem. You're a problem.
Brother B, I just wanted to add something to it. You know, the only person who went to jail in that entire case was the man who made the video, Ramsey Water. They brought up every charge against him. They brought up, oh, that he had a criminal record, that he was this, he was that. And it's like they didn't even give him a chance to testify because he only testified for a short minute.
And once again,
the police were harassing him.
Why do you think people are in the streets doing what they're doing now? You see what
I'm
saying?
They're tired of it.
People see that and they're like, oh, this is how you want to play? No problem. It's time. Is this what you want? Is this what you want? Then this is what you're going to get.
Lady T?
Hey, Brother B just sound like a racist tonight, so I don't know what's going on here. I'm sorry, Brother B.
Yes, I don't like my chocolate ice cream and my vanilla ice cream to sit on the same plate. No.
You're a racist.
I don't even know how to answer your question. All right, next.
Okay.
You're
all right,
a
racist. Sean, anything else you'd like to add on?
I think it's very hard for this country to improve on anything if they refuse to acknowledge that there's something to actually work on. Many, many times we hear about racism, does it exist? You had a black president, so that means that racism doesn't exist. Then you have all of the things that are systematically showing otherwise. So as long as there's this sheen over everything, there's this facade and sugarcoating over all of the stuff that we've just talked about in just this first 33, 34 minutes of the show, and nobody wants to acknowledge that there's a problem, then how are you going to actually improve on it and fix it? And nobody wants to discuss it the way that it should be discussed in a frank nature. That's the only way that it can get taken care of.
Exactly. Real quick, can I ask Sean Black a question?
Sure.
Sean Black, remember, I think I brought this up before, but I want to ask you, remember that incident? It was something that happened, and that guy supposedly from Maryland just put some letter on Facebook saying that he was coming up to New York to kill cops, and he turned around and he had shot those two cops.
Yes.
In their patrol car. Did you notice how quiet it got after that? See, and he did it off of the reaction of a cop killing someone black, and it was all crazy, you know, this, that, and the third. Law enforcement was saying whatever they wanted to say, but as soon as he came up there and executed two cops, then all of a sudden, the mother of the men went on to, oh, we need to stop this, we need to do this, we need to do that. And sadly, I have to say, I felt she was kind of wrong for doing it, because they didn't want to come to her and help her when they killed her son. But now all of a sudden, the police want you to calm things down. And it's not like I was happy for those two cops getting executed. Hell no. I think that was totally wrong and unnecessary. But it's sad when things like that happen, then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, okay, stop. We got to stop this now. But wait a minute.
Yeah.
You didn't want to stop it when you were doing it to us. So now why are you going to stop it when somebody's doing it to you? That's the problem.
That's the saddest part about having cause and effect. One cause leads to an effect that either you want to have happen or you are not expecting to happen. And when it does happen, you have to react accordingly. Should something have been done prior? Of course. But usually that doesn't happen until there is the effect, meaning the cops, who unfortunately got killed, then you had the effect of what happened afterwards. And we've heard a lot of these things happen now on the back end of all of these mass shootings that have been going on. And also the effect of all of the things that have been going on with the community kind of revolting against the police. And I can only imagine what this must look like on a nationwide scale for people to say in California or in Wyoming, watching the national news and seeing what's been happening in New York and in Philly and in other places that they're probably not used to hearing about these kinds of incidents happening now.
Okay, A64, I will get to you in a few minutes, but I just want to mention Jay-Z and the NFL. Yes. Where do I go from here? Basically, Sean Black, since you love football and football season is right around the corner, when we first heard about Jay-Z joining the NFL with music, what was your first thought, and how do you feel about this overall?
Well, My first thought was that, okay, this is interesting timing, whereas we know that, like you just stated, season is about to start in a couple of weeks. We know that there was a big kerfuffle about who's going to be doing halftime, and Jay-Z having a lot of the control and a lot of the name recognition that we know that he has in the music industry and is a very powerful person outside of the music industry, trying to join with the NFL seemed like it was going to kind of squash a lot of this negative publicity that's been going on with the NFL and the whole kneeling national anthem situation. We thought that that had calmed down, et cetera, et cetera. We know that that isn't the case. And with Jay-Z going into it, a couple things came to my mind when I first listened to this, the news. One, Jay-Z is trying to get in good with the NFL. We know that he is an agent. He has his own agency. He represents some players that are already in the NFL and in other sports. Second of all, we also know that music-wise, he can co-brand whoever is on his record label in response to maybe getting a Super Bowl halftime show, getting some sort of cross-promotion. And in doing so, that would help him get that much more of a foothold into the NFL, because I personally, this is just my opinion, I think that he does have some sort of idea that down the road he wants to get ownership into the NFL with a team at some point.
That's guaranteed.
Whatever team it is,
he wants.
I don't
guarantee
know.
He wants deal. He wants ownership. Guaranteed.
Now he exactly. Now he wants to piggyback that into the whole Kaepernick thing. And in the press conference that he had with Commissioner Roger Goodell, he basically said that we're over kneeling and we need to get past the kneeling part and get into an actionable idea, which I understand the premise of the comment. The problem is that's not what is going on. And Kaepernick heard about this, and also Eric Reed, who is the co-producer with Colin Kaepernick with the whole kneeling anthem protest. He basically said that, look, this is not what I signed up for, and we have not forgotten what we're doing. So it now makes it makes Kaepernick look like he was abandoned. Eric Reed is picking up the mantle to some degree, and it makes Jay-Z look like, although he seems to be on the outside looking to try to get something going forward, he also has now put himself in the situation where he looks like he sold out a movement to get further in bed with the NFL on some level.
Okay. So, okay, 864, thank you for holding. Welcome.
Hey, what's going on, man? How y'all doing?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up,
what's up, man? What's up, bro?
Everything is good. I just basically heard the past two topics, and they are ones that, you know, basically, I guess, spotlight and highlight those of us seemingly on the phone that are of color, African descent, you know, black, whatever we call ourselves. And I think, like somebody I think said earlier, they have gotten us to a place where we have become desensitized, where it is okay to lift up a person like Cardi B. You know, this is just a reality. She's become a household name primarily because of black folk, primarily because of black folk and also others, but primarily because of us. And I think it's high time and very important for us to start thinking about ourselves in a different manner. Even as these, you know, issues are happening, I think it would have been very important to speak about Emmett Till and those issues that happened yesterday, so we would have made ourselves better prepared in the today. But when they say, when you don't study history, you're doomed to repeat it. So therefore, guess what? We are doomed to repeat, or we are, in fact, repeating the same history that we had yesterday. That's why it's not really, I'm going to say, far-fetched for us to pick up a paper and find out that two young black men were hanging downtown. You know what I'm saying? Things haven't changed. There is this facade that we like to entrench ourselves in and like to put up, And I'm going to say that in that facade, we have allowed ourselves to be blinded by things like the NFL. And this is a thing that even in the Jay-Z case, even if he didn't make the move that he made, which to me is going to show more black dominance in the NFL, which we majority participate in. Majority black people are the ones that are out there running and doing, making those magnificent catches, hurdling, doing everything. We have been the ones that have sustained the quality of NFL that you see today ever since it's existed. And so many times we are left out where we are just, you know, I think that's what the Colin Kaepernick case kind of spotlighted is that, hey, I'm a player. I have the right to voice my opinion over something that, and I think that's what it was showing. To me, I think it had gone somewhere else as, you know, maybe like some type of parade or some type of thing, because George Soros is actually behind Black Lives Matter. And the more that I did research on him, I found out that he and Jeffrey Epstein had, you know, they were closely related, not blood kin, but, you know, they had relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to see that the very ones that are weaving the fabric, they aren't good from the start, especially as it relates to black people. So I think the case where Colin Kaepernick versus Jay-Z type of dynamic is coming up, to me, I feel a lot better for the move that Jay-Z is actually, you know, claiming right now. The one that, because I don't see he as being a powerless person. He is one of our few ever known black billionaires, right? So I do feel like that this guy got to this place, you know, for a reason, and let's hope that it is going to be something better for us as black people, so we don't have to talk about these, because now I'm seeing that he is actually doing a lot in the film world. I think he did the Kwali Browder story.
Yes, he did.
Able to shed light on that issue, and even with the Meek Mills situation, I think he's doing something. So, hey, it's good. I would rather power be in his hands where we can discuss issues of reality like that rather than be in Tyler Perry's hands where all we're going to do is see a man in the dress and we're going to laugh and goof off all day. You understand what I'm saying? So,
okay,
you know,
so excuse me, caller. So, excuse me, caller. So, Brother B, what do you think about that statement? Brother B?
Yeah. Hello, Brother B. I think he's so shocked. I think you made him speechless.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. My issue, Brother Equali, right? Equali, he had some very good points. My problem is this. If you're going to make a deal, make the deal. You do what you do. But the fact that he said, oh, you know, let's get beyond the kneeling. See, that was a statement that didn't have to be made, because now it's basically, it was like a signal saying to them, like, don't worry, we're good.
Get over it? Basically get over it?
Yeah, like I'm over
basically.
It and you should be too. And he didn't have to go there. He could have just made
the deal
on how he
was making. I've seen him correct himself on that. He corrected himself on that. You guys do know that.
That's the thing. He still shouldn't have came out, because he kind of lost me with that. Because my whole thing is this: one thing has nothing to do with the other. If you want to make it, listen, you ain't got to prove nothing to me, because I ain't nobody for you, and none of us are. Jay-Z can do whatever Jay-Z wants to do, because he's his own man. He got his family and all this and that. So his whether he has a bad image today or a good image tomorrow, he still has to do his business. But the fact that he was just cursing the NFL a year and change ago, and now all of a sudden he wants to sit down. Listen, I have to say it bluntly. The white man only going to give you but so much. He going to keep a leash on that ass. You think they going to forget? They never forget. They ain't going to forget what he said. They ain't going to forget all the little movies that he produced. They ain't going to forget none of that. So best believe, is going to be a tight leash. And for him to just take the position, oh, well, we're going to give you the position of running music because that's what you do. You entertain and make us some music and do what you do, and we'll give you a little kickback here and there.
Brother B. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Who else? Somebody talk. I'm still laughing.
I just want to say, first of all, Jay-Z, we all know that he's a capitalist. He didn't get where he's at right now without capitalizing on certain situations. This is
a
good move,
right,
in a sense, and to some people it may be a bad move in a sense. You understand what I'm saying? Kaepernick didn't know when he was going to kneel that the kneeling would have went this far. He came in, you know, used his platform to shed light to something that was going on in the black community as far as, you know, trying to get proper treatment from the police. Don't forget, I think Trump and Pence came to one of the games and said, oh, that they're disrespecting the military. How are they disrespecting the military if all they're doing is, you know, using their First Amendment rights and so forth? So every time someone comes in who's of color that's making millions and billions, we're always looking towards them for some reason for them to be our saviors. Everybody said, oh, okay, Obama's going to be president. We're going to get reparations. Listen, guys, cut the crap with this reparation stuff, first of all. And cut the crap every time that somebody that is of color gets to a platform that you're totally not on. And you know why you're not on it? Because, number one, you're not thinking about yourself. Number two, you're not thinking about your household. And number three, you're not thinking about how to better your community before you try to even get to their platform. Okay? This is billionaire and millionaire talk, if you ask me. So why are we not focused on our own homes and our own communities and bettering ourselves first so that we can do things like he's doing? Why we're not doing that? And I'm not talking about being a sellout because everybody's like, oh, he's a sellout. I got what he said, and he explained what there's two sides of protesting. It's been going on since the days of Dr. King. They was protesting, and then had to come stand right in front of the same white man for justice. Tell me
why
that he didn't.
Why is it when Lady T talks, I feel the lashes on my back for some reason? Harder and harder every time.
Because people need to learn the history, man,
exactly,
of how stuff really goes down and how we got here with a lot of things that are put into place. It's small steps to big moves, man. Come on.
Preach
it. Small steps, but at the same time, people look at Jay-Z like he has to call him a seller and everything. He's making his money. Do you think part of that is, once again, black hate on black? And the, you know, within.
Oh, let's talk about black hate on black hate. You got black big time brothers on. What's this guy named Umar Johnson and all these guys? Y'all taking money from the Negroes to teach them about hate all day? So you want to talk about some sellouts?
But what about?
I've seen Umar Johnson wear a dashiki in one of his interviews in front of the black man, but come towards the white man with the soup. Why you ain't come towards him with the dashiki and represent?
But wait,
don't go
Puffy
there.
Didn't Puffy try to buy into,
he was trying to buy the Carolina Panthers back then, yes.
And what happened?
They shut it down.
Why?
Jermaine Dupri a year ago was offered the same deal that Jay-Z was offered, and Jermaine Dupri said, no, he's not going to do it.
Exactly.
Other people
because
have
other things. He knows what kind of buzzsaw he would walk into if he took that deal. And
well, he
Jay-Z,
knows what he can't handle.
Yeah, and we also know Jay-Z is that much more powerful in the eyes of the not only the media, but of black media and the black audience, that he can take that hit and not be damaged irreparably because of it. So
But this, and you're right about reading history. Wow, that was very powerful. All I got to say is this is that from what I learned about the deal that makes Roc Nation the co-producers of the Super Bowl halftime show, and it also gives them the power to choose entertainers to perform in the NFL, you know, as throughout the season. And, of course, they also said that it gives them the opportunity to work with the league's current social justice campaign, among other things. That's what this deal means. That's what's being reported.
But we also know it's hypocritical because if you remember when the whole Janet Jackson thing happened, there was almost like a 5 or 6 year boycott of anybody that had anything to do with quote unquote hip hop R&B.
Yeah.
The NFL
yep.
went the safe route.
I remember
route.
That.
The NFL produced all of the halftime shows. The NFL
yes,
did all
they
of
did.
These things. And the first one of the first people that they went to when they decided, well, we're going to try and ingratiate ourselves with at least the African American community or at least the hip hop R&B sect and go to Rihanna. And you remember Rihanna
yeah.
said she was going to take
down.
That job until the Kaepernick thing happened and she backed away. So,
yeah, but,
so
now,
did JT,
but now she has
remember,
no choice. Now she has
and
no
of
choice.
Course, remember
Jay-Z's
something else. Remember something else. Sorry for interrupting, but Jay-Z also turned down the opportunity to perform at the Super Bowl last year. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I want to go back to the caller.
What happened with Kaepernick?
Hey, I'm going to. Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Go
I
ahead,
just
no.
wanted to say that, you know, one thing about me and the thing that I've understood as a, you know, a 40-year-old black man here in America is that we have been naive in knowing and trying to understand how to assert ourselves into politics. This
mm-hmm.
right here to me is a political move, right?
Yeah.
It is a political move.
In what way? In what way do you think this
okay.
is a political move?
In the way that even if Jay-Z had not signed any deal, he had not done anything. Guess what? The majority of our people, black folk, we would be watching, waiting on NFL to come on. It doesn't make a difference, Colin Kaepernick, whatever, right? This is a reality,
mm-hmm.
even during that kneeling. So now this does at least give us a chance to have some stake in this. Like what the last caller just said, he could start to employ more hip-hop artists. If it's already
mm-hmm.
a known thing that, hey, Jay-Z is a rap star, right? So his wife is an R&B artist, so those are black genres. So let's hope, you know, that's going to put some black dancers to work, some black folk, period, right? Because they have their own. So even in making the decision, now it's not only for white folks to have a call or to say they have stake into what we are investing in. Now, slowly but surely, and I think at the end of the day, we have no black owners ever have had a black owner
right.
in the NFL. I like the fact,
sure.
even in the conversation the other day, where they got everything mixed up. And the reality is that they said the commissioner doesn't even have $1 billion. He works for people like Jay-Z. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a reality. While now inserting himself as a billionaire, you understand, this brother already has power. I feel good that even in the face of him having power, I and my children were able to watch the Kwali Browder story. That meant that was documentation, something we have very little of. Barack Obama didn't do it. You understand? To
ooh,
me, this
ooh.
Is the thing that when we were talking earlier, allowing ourselves to now have a validated voice. This is allowing ourselves to say, well, damn, these black, yeah, they have a story. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. So, like I said, to me, you know, I feel like, but this is the important part. Now, I will say this: that those of us that support Jay-Z, just like we have Twitter. Just like we have all types of, you know, social media. We have YouTube. We have different ways of communicating messages to our favorite stars, right? I think us
right.
as a collective black people should be utilizing these outlets to now push him, and whoever he's working with to now let these things benefit for us. And if not, then we're going to take our dollar elsewhere. But right now we're all over the place, and this is going to be the important thing that we are
okay.
together as a black people on this.
So I got to cut you off. We're about to end the show right now, guys. Thanks so much, Brother B. Your show is on tomorrow night, 8:30, or next week?
Nah, we're on tomorrow night. And
tomorrow night.
Is going to be, yeah, tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m., topic is going to be women who are intimidated by good men.
Ooh, Lady P
ooh.
Is on tomorrow night. Tomorrow night.
I have to hear this one.
It's going
to
be on.
Thank you all. Have a good night, guys. Take care.
Good night.
All
right, good night.
Peace
take
out,
care.
Y'all.
All right. All yours, guys.
Peace out.
All right.